sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to a new Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora special known as the 2-Minute Warning, where I will talk about every single NFL team, all 32 teams, but spend no longer than 2 minutes on each team to let you know what you need to know on your favorite NFL team and also the rest of the teams around the country. We will start with the AFC East, run to the West, then the North and South, and then move to the NFC after a short break to do the NFC East, West, North, and South. 2-minute warning, 32 teams, all you need to know on the NFL, coming right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. My thoughts on every single team around this country happen right now. The Buffalo Bills of the AFC East, E.J. Manuel, doing well coming in this season as a rookie to lead the offense, but someone who had an injury during training camp. I thought he was coming back way too fast. I didn't think he would be ready in time. This is something that I could see coming, and it ended up happening. E.J. Manuel, never thought he was 100%, and now knocked out of the game. Jeff Toole not doing well so far as a rookie. Thaddeus Lewis will get his opportunity to see what he can do. The positive on Thaddeus Lewis is that he comes from Duke. David Cutcliffe trained Peyton Manning, and you want to say good that he also trained Eli Manning, but Eli's struggling right now. David Cutcliffe knows what he's talking about, and Thaddeus Lewis being his quarterback could help Buffalo to weather this storm. Stevie Johnson, C.J. Spiller, durability in question. Also that of Fred Jackson. How healthy can they stay with Stevie Johnson and C.J. Spiller having some ailments right now? So that's going to be important. Buffalo's defense and how they can lock things up. Will Mario Williams continue to be somebody that could get things done? Will Marcell Dareus be someone who could continue to work hard on that line to really get this Buffalo team where they need to be? Doug Marrone is their head coach, and the Buffalo Bills having all the injuries. Marrone has weathered that storm before with Syracuse. He had a tough road doing it, but he has experience doing it, and so does his staff. So you look at that as being a factor to help. I look at this team to be a ground-gaining team while Thaddeus Lewis gets comfortable in what he is trying to do in leading this offense, and how many chances he's going to get to lead this offense that really has their best weapon outside of the backfield in Robert Woods, who's just able to run and get things done. Thaddeus Lewis needing to link up with him like E.J. Manuel did if this team wants to be successful. That's the Buffalo Bills. On to the Miami Dolphins. Running back woes. Saw this coming going into the season. Can't really trust either running back to lead your offense. Lamar Miller, Daniel Thomas, just not getting it done. Lamar Miller, a guy who has some positive moments. Daniel Thomas, who's been injured and has gone in and out of positive moments, but no consistency. This is a team that surprised me in the fact that they got rid of Reggie Bush, having him where he was in his career. Yes, people talk about him fumbling, but listen, this guy has won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints, and when he went to Miami, he was starting to get them moving in the right direction. They got rid of Ronnie Brown before, who was running the Wildcat better than any other team in the country, throwing touchdowns, running in for touchdowns. Ronnie Brown no longer with the team. Reggie Bush no longer with the team. They go to the future with Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas, which really doesn't have a positive outlook so far. Mike Wallace has been obsolete. The wide receiver that's supposed to be able to come in and just do his job. He wasn't that big in Pittsburgh, and I don't know why there was so much hype for him in Miami, but it was also the same thing with Brandon Marshall. A lot of hype, not a lot of backup to it. Mike Wallace needs to step up and do something to help out Ryan Tannehill, whose best relationship is with Brian Hartline, who has really stepped up and been the heartbeat of this team on offense. Defensively, still trying to find their way. I think this Miami team that started out 3-0 really does have a lot of positives. It can shock some people with New England being a struggling team. I think it's really wide open right now. Nobody expected the Jets to be where they are. So Miami could make a push, but they need to get a better running game in order to make this happen. And defensively, they have to make sure that they are staying sound and there are leaders on that defense for their future, because the best Miami team recently had those names, the Jason Taylors and the Zach Thomases, to lead their team. The New England Patriots of the AFC East, tight end Rob Gronkowski, him being out has really affected this team, and having Aaron Hernandez out has affected the team too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Aaron Hernandez should be playing football. That is not something that you're ever going to hear come out of my mouth. As far as I know, from everything that's gone on, Aaron Hernandez, listen, when you make certain decisions, that's your life. It's your decision. It was off the field, but you cannot commend somebody who has allegedly committed some pretty heinous crimes. So Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, my point in this is that the offense can run through these guys. You've seen success. You've seen them in the Super Bowl be unstoppable throughout the season, throwing over the middle to Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. They don't have that right now. Zach Sudfeld, I thought, would step up as a rookie. He's not there anymore. So what's going to happen with New England is really up in the air right now. Their receivers are just not getting it done. You talk about Tom Brady, and I've talked about it, one of the few quarterbacks that can make any receiver good, but the guys aren't catching their passes. There's not a good relationship there. No Danny Amendola. He's injury prone. He's not somebody that I would hope in turning this team around. Lack of rushing with running back Steven Ridley and the rest of the team on the ground. Defensive lineman Vincent Wilfork not on the line anymore with that Achilles tear. Tommy Kelly is injured on the line. Linebackers Jared Mayo and Dante Hightower, they need to stay healthy. So really you're looking at your secondary with cornerback Aqib Talib and strong safety Steve Gregory to make stops, which they have. And they've kept New England in the game. New England has done just enough. Their record is shocking that they've only had one loss because of what they're putting on the field as far as talent on offense. But as I said, they're getting to just where they need to be and trusting in just a few people, but they need to do more to be successful. Lastly, for the AFC East, the New York Jets, cornerback Antonio Cromartie with hip and knee injuries this season. I think he's overrated even if he's healthy. Talking about him shutting down everyone or being your go-to guy in the secondary, I just don't see it. There's a lot of cockiness there, and I don't see leadership coming through Antonio Cromartie. I don't see him as someone who is going to shut somebody down every single time. He makes mistakes, which everybody does, but Darrelle Revis leaps and bounds better to me than Antonio Cromartie. Wide receiver Santonio Holmes, another guy who has a big ego. He's no help to the team. Injury prone, somebody that's not out there enough to really make a positive effect on the team. Tight end Kellen Winslow, speaking of not making a positive effect, poor choices, suspended for violating the NFL's drug policy. That's going to affect this offense potentially. But quarterback Geno Smith, as a rookie, he's finding a way. It's funny, Mark Sanchez doing the same thing when he was a rookie for the Jets. So Geno Smith running on that line like Mark Sanchez, getting the team on the winning side of things. But Jets fans shouldn't get too hyped up because of the fact that you've won against teams that are struggling, Tampa Bay, Buffalo now with injuries, and Atlanta, and you've lost against teams that are struggling in New England, who, yes, I said they have one loss, but still there's a lot going on in that New England team, not looking like the same New England team, and losing to Tennessee and losing big in those games. So, yes, on the better side of things are the Jets, but still a lot of work to do. Wide receiver Jeremy Curley, what he could be to the team, and also David Nelson, in addition, who used to play for Buffalo, has a hamstring injury, but what could he be in the future of this Jets team playing against subpar for the most part so far and getting on the winning side of things? But can the Jets win the big games against the big teams when it matters? That's the question for the New York Jets. Moving to the AFC West, starting with the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, what can you say about the man? How can you ever say enough about a man who I'm very happy when everybody said four surgeries, he can't come back, he's not the same guy, he's washed up, he's older, his body can't take it. I said, I hope he goes back there and shuts everybody up and not only plays good, but plays well, plays fantastic. And that's exactly what he's doing right now in his career. Peyton Manning, 20 touchdowns right now this season to one interception, 1,884 passing yards on pace. If he follows what he's been doing, to have 64 passing touchdowns this season and over 6,000 passing yards. has wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, tight end Julius Thomas, wide receiver Wes Welker, wide receiver Eric Decker, add in running back Knowshon Moreno. When you don't put him on the depth chart as a starter, he really gets the job done. And some guys are like that, and I don't know if it's a mentality thing, but if you don't put him down as your first guy, but he is your first option and he's your goal line option, sometimes they play better. All games, multiple touchdown outings for Manning, 4 of 5 with 3 touchdowns or more, including 7 touchdowns to start the season versus Baltimore. And I know they didn't have Ed Reed, they didn't have Ray Lewis, but this Baltimore team isn't that bad on defense, as they've shown. And Peyton Manning, not that bad either. Over 75% completion on the season, more than 300 yards per game. Kicker Matt Prater, wide receiver Eric Decker, and cornerback Champ Bailey. You have to watch them with their injuries. Champ trying to get back from a foot injury, but the defense playing well without him at moments. But there was that score that was run up against the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo doesn't make that mistake. Where does that game go? So Peyton Manning doing very well, but this defense has to step it up to show just how strong that they are. Wesley Woodyard, that's another guy to watch, linebacker in the middle of the defense, how healthy he's going to be. But this Denver team running through Peyton is running pretty darn well. Going from the 5-0 Denver Broncos to the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs, quarterback Alex Smith getting the job done. I said when that trade happens, when you decide I'm keeping Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, I'm getting rid of Alex Smith, is it going to be a Drew Brees? Is it going to be Phillip Rivers is now here? We're getting rid of Drew Brees. Drew Brees goes on, phenomenal play so far with the New Orleans Saints, has won a Super Bowl. And so far, it looks like it could potentially go that way. Yes, Colin Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl last season, but Alex Smith got him there, helped him to get to where San Francisco was. And now without him, that offense, which has a ton of talent, has slowed down a little bit in San Francisco. Kansas City's offense is on Alex Smith, getting Dwayne Bowe to be who Dwayne Bowe is. You know, that receiver is affected directly by the quarterback. Dwayne Bowe, you just got to find the right guy that finds you in space. Donnie Avery, got to step up a little bit more. Running back Jamaal Charles, you have to look at that knee injury and make sure that he is okay. But when you look at Kansas City's wins, they beat a Dallas Cowboys team that obviously can score. And they've beaten a Tennessee team that has some talent, that did make a push under Ryan Fitzpatrick. But still, this is another team that you have to watch. They've played no divisional games so far. They've beaten Jacksonville, Dallas, Philadelphia, New York, Tennessee. These teams have all struggled. And now as they move forward, you have to see what this team is going to be doing in their division itself. Can they beat the Denver Broncos? That's going to be the big question this season. But I got to say it, Kansas City, and you know it, fans, they're fun to watch. And that passing defense, fourth in the country out of 32 teams. Kansas City is fun again. That arrowhead pointed in the direction of winning is something very positive for Kansas City fans, as Andy Reid is 5-0 and his Philadelphia Eagles are struggling big time right now. Moving on in the AFC West with the Oakland Raiders, quarterback Terrell Pryor. If you had told me at the start of the season that Terrell Pryor was going to be the leader of the Oakland Raiders, no matter what, it was just going to happen. If you had told me that, that something would have been a big surprise to me with what Terrell Pryor, you know, I look at not just on the field, but off the field, personal responsibility, saying he was going to stay in Ohio State, saying he was going to serve a suspension, deciding to leave. Those decisions that you make, it doesn't scream leadership to me or responsibility to me. When you're at the quarterback position, you're the leader of the offense, and in a lot of cases, you're the leader of the entire team, and I didn't think he could do that. This dual threat has got it done. He's got a good relationship. He is out there showing me a lot more than I ever expected from Terrell Pryor. Expected more of a Jamarcus Russell out of him, and now Terrell Pryor's out there. Ability to move helps him get players open when he has that ability to be elusive, to run around. And it's funny because as soon as he sees pressure coming, he starts moving. The guy's right with him, one hand off of him, just a little millimeter off of him, and he looks so comfortable, as if this is just a textbook way of doing what he's doing. This is what I practice. This is what I'm used to. So whatever it may be, if he gets out in practice and lets bees out of a hive and is wearing honey and lets them chase him, he's not afraid of anything out there. You can see it. His receivers get open. They give him an opportunity. I like what's been going on with Zenarius Moore, Rod Streeter, getting them involved. And even though you have some injury when you look at running back Darren McFadden. Terrell Pryor is the leader, obviously, in passing and the leader in rushing right now with over 200 yards. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays behind Stefan Wisniewski, who's the starting center, who's currently out right now. But the defense getting after the ball, Terrell Pryor able to move around when he needs to and able to get this team in winning positions despite the fact that there are some tough moments on the field for Oakland. Rounding out the AFC West, the San Diego Chargers struggling to stop on defense. This is a team that was trying to figure out ways to win under Norv Turner, and it just wasn't happening. You have talent on this team. You have ability on this team, but not making the stops, not making them when you need to make them. San Diego Chargers, no matter how much they're up by, are never a team that you could just step back and say, you know what, they got this game. Running back Ryan Matthews, he's a reason why. This is a guy that I don't trust in the backfield. He's not what you want. He's not a starting running back. To me, he's a third option right now on a good team. Ryan Matthews, you can't trust him with the ball, and you can't trust him to make big plays and run the offense through him. If your passing attack is struggling, you cannot put it to Ryan Matthews and expect him to get the job done, and you can't truly have a dual-threat offense with Phillip Rivers' arm and the lack of ability by Ryan Matthews, no matter how good Phillip Rivers is on any given day. Offensive line, left tackle King Dunlap's coming off of a concussion. Right tackle DJ Fluker has a calf injury. So those two anchors to the offensive line, you have to watch that, because Ryan Matthews not running well even with a positive line. Now if those guys are injured, how much will that affect him? How much will it affect Phillip Rivers? Wide receiver Eddie Royal, low in yards. He achieved all five of his touchdowns in the first two games. He's scoreless in the last three. He needs to step it up. Wide receiver Vincent Brown has not been a huge factor. So this offense for the San Diego Chargers is truly running through tight end Antonio Gates and running back Danny Woodhead, who have to put points on the board, have to continue to have that positive relationship with Phillip Rivers, which Gates has had for a while, and Woodhead has the opportunity to have this season. You have to let these guys catch the ball and take off in spacing. You can't trust your defense. You can't trust your running game. Phillip Rivers is going to have to find his targets and hope that they can outscore teams at times until this defense can truly get to where it needs to be. Moving on to the AFC North, start with the Baltimore Ravens, who had won a Super Bowl but don't have all the talent that they had before, namely Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, the two big captains of that defense. But the defense hasn't been the problem. The problem, more so than anything, has been quarterback Joe Flacco, who is injury-prone. And the only reason why Joe Flacco doesn't look that bad this season is because Eli Manning is that much worse. That's what it is. I mean, you look at it and you say, okay, you know what, Joe Flacco, not really a good quarterback this season. But when you look at the rest of the league, you could say, well, he's not the bottom, because the bottom's been set by a guy like Eli Manning. He's been set by a guy like Blaine Gabbert so far this season. So Joe Flacco is struggling, but he needs to get on. He has weapons. He has wide receiver Torrey Smith. He has running back Ray Rice. He has running back Bernard Pierce. They have to get the job going. Yes, Bernard Pierce has been nagged by injury. Jacoby Jones, wide receiver as well. And on the defense, defensive tackle Haloti Ngata has dealt with injuries as well on that defensive line. But Baltimore has shown that defensively they can get the job done. They can stop teams. Yes, they have injuries, but you still have Terrell Suggs. You still have him running the middle of your defense as your quarterback. But you have to ask your quarterback on the offense, Joe Flacco, to get out there, get more comfortable, because the Baltimore Ravens win championships when the Baltimore Ravens have a strong offense that's not just a rushing attack. They always had their defense, then they got their running game going. They never had a passing attack. When they got it, they started winning. Joe Flacco, you have talent out there. There's no excuse. And Ray Rice has to be involved more. There's no reason why an offense with Ray Rice and with a healthy Bernard Pierce should ever have under 10 carries to a guy like Ray Rice on the ground in any given game. That's ridiculous. Continuing on in the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a team that I thought would be better than they are right now. One of their cornerbacks, Leon Hall, hamstring injury, and defensive end Michael Johnson with a concussion. Those are things to watch on a defense that hasn't really made a lot of stops so far in the season. Cincinnati, I think that they have a strong mind in Jay Gruden as offensive coordinator. They obviously have talent with quarterback Andy Dalton, wide receiver A.J. Green. You want to see a guy like Jermaine Gresham get a little bit more involved in the offense here, but the big question is, you know, Giovanni Bernard, can he truly carry this team when he needs to carry this team on the ground? Can he do more? Can he be an every down back? Can he be a consistent guy? Because on the defense, which you just talked about injuries, they're in the top 12 when it comes to against the pass, they're 11th. Against the rush, they're 10th, allowing less than 100 yards a game. But you defeat a Pittsburgh team who's defeated. You beat Green Bay by outscoring them, which says a lot about that offense we were talking about. But they lose to the Cleveland Browns, who have come on, and we'll talk about them in a second. You lose to Chicago, and they only lose by 3. And then New England, they get that big win when they shut them down defensively. But that's what it really looks like with this team. It's that shutdown defense, because they can outscore you, but defensively they have to be sound. They have to be able to condense it. The good thing is you have the Baltimore Ravens right now in your division, and they're struggling to score. You don't know what Cleveland is going to do, and Pittsburgh is struggling to score as well. So Cincinnati is in a good position right now, but this talent has to continue moving in the right direction. And Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Giovanni Bernard finding out what's best for them. They both have over 200 yards, but Giovanni Bernard, really the guy that's getting it done, almost 5 yards a carry, is big for him right now. And the rest of the receiving core has to help out A.J. Green if this team wants to win in those big games. On next for the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns. Big question coming out of here is offensively, what can they do? What will quarterback Brandon Whedon do as the outright starter once again? Can he get the job done being the guy once again? That's a big question that's coming up with the Cleveland Browns. He came in and was able to have some positive play against the Buffalo Bills, but what is this team going to do as far as against the pass? I've said it before. I said it with Seattle. There's a strong Seattle defense going up against the pass, and I said Cleveland, I said this last year, they will surprise you in how well they could be against the pass. Right now, in this season, 7th in the country against the pass. Big things to say about them. They go on the road at Minnesota and defeat Minnesota. They defeat the Cincinnati team we just talked about by holding them to 6 points. They defeat Buffalo, who has defeated themselves. But you look at it like this. Brian Hoyer, your starting quarterback, was out. E.J. Manuel is out for the Bills. The positive for the Cleveland Browns is that your backup that came in wasn't a rookie that's never played an NFL game before, like Buffalo and Jeff Toole. Brandon Whedon has had experience. He has been the starter, but now where is he going to go? How is he going to get the job done? Can he get the job done? They've lost to Baltimore, only scoring 6 points. We talked about the strength of that defense. And Miami, they lost to them. And Miami has some positive points, but still only scoring 10 points against them. So this is a team that can score in the 30s, but will they score in the 30s? Can they take down the teams that they have coming up, like the Green Bays and the Kansas Cities of the world, and also having to face New England and seeing where the Jets are later on in the season when they're playing on the road at MetLife Stadium? This Cleveland Browns team does have talent. They're trying to turn it around. Defensively, they have positives. On the ground, you have Willis McGahee, and that's going to be a big hurt to you. So a lot's going to be on the arm of Brandon Whedon. Can his receivers get it done? And can Benjamin continue to be that slash player that they once had in Josh Cribbs, or be even better than that? Those are questions that need to be answered to help the Browns. Finishing out the AFC North are the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that has really not found a way to get it going. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger not leading well. He has an injury to his right finger, and you think maybe that's not important, but every single finger, very important. Go outside, hold a football, take one of your fingers off of it, and see how well you can throw the ball. It does affect it. Obviously, he's a professional. He's played with injuries before. But Ben Roethlisberger, even out there being a healthy quarterback, is struggling. He's having a lot of trouble so far on this offense. It really doesn't have a leader out there in the receiving core. Emmanuel Sanders, not somebody that you could trust in to carry a team. Antonio Brown as well. Passing yards-wise, Ben Roethlisberger does have the team in the top 10, though, which is shocking. They haven't won a game. Lost to Tennessee, only scored 9 points. Lost to Cincinnati, scored 10. Lost to Chicago and Minnesota. Got in the 20s in those games, but defensively, not the team that you're used to seeing. They're 5th in the country against the pass and 9th in the country in their passing attack. But this is one of those teams where the numbers, the stats lie because of the fact that they cannot get it done. They look good in the top 10 against the pass and with their pass, But they are not doing enough on defense. They're not doing enough on offense. Felix Jones is nothing in the rushing attack. Le'Veon Bell, this is a big question. What can he do? Can they count on him? Because they have nobody else in that rushing attack, which could be affecting your pass. With a guy that has two touchdowns in one game, what can he truly be to this team? Can a guy like Jericho Cotchery step up later on in his career here? And can a guy like Antonio Brown be more than he is? Because they don't have an easy road coming up with the teams that they'll be facing with the New Englands and the Detroits, where Buffalo's going to be at that time. They have to face Baltimore twice, Green Bay as well, and you never know with Cleveland in that last game of the season what it's going to be. Pittsburgh is not your grandfather's Pittsburgh. They need to step it up. Finishing up the AFC side with the AFC South, starting with the Houston Texans, you have to watch the left side of the defense, left defensive end J.J. Watt and left inside linebacker Brian Cushing. If you're looking from behind at the defense, that's your left side. J.J. Watt with his nose, Brian Cushing also coming off of an injury. These guys are guys that fight through things. I think J.J. Watt, when you saw his nose all bloody, he doesn't really care. He'll play with it. He has that way about him. I expect nothing less from what you see from J.J. Watt. Brian Cushing, a guy who knows what it's like to be held off the field, doesn't want to be in that position. But this defense has to punch you in the mouth. They have to continue to stay strong. And I know that it's difficult because they're having quarterback trouble with Matt Schaub. Usually they struggle when he's out. Right now they're struggling when he's in. There's confusion in the backfield with Arian Foster and Ben Tate. Who's truly healthy? Who can get it done? It's really not working. What worked for the Texans was having Arian Foster as the dominant back, and then bringing in Ben Tate. You never know when he was going to come in, and he showing the fact that he had power, he had ability. He could be on a Pittsburgh Steelers team right now and be starting, but what's worked best for Houston, and you don't fix a well-working system, is Arian Foster first, and then Ben Tate worked in there, and they're in there in some way. Wide receiver Andre Johnson, shin injury, playing him. This is something of question. Like with Julio Jones, do you continue to play a guy that has a nagging injury because of the fact that you may not have him for the rest of the season? You have him for this week, but you may not have him when you need him, and this offense needs all the help they can get. Secondary having trouble as well. Free safety Ed Reed played in 3 games, 8 total tackles, no interceptions, no forced fumbles, and also dealing with a knee injury. So not the same Ed Reed right now that you expect to see. The defense has positives in the first and second tier. Now you have to see where they can go with this offense. Matt Schaub has to get it done, or it's TJ Yates time, baby. Moving on to the next team in the AFC South to look at the Indianapolis Colts. Free safety Laron Landry ankle injury is going to be something that you're going to have to watch here against the passing attack. How healthy Landry is going to be. Sergio Brown is behind him. He has 3 total tackles this season. Then you also look at outside linebacker Eric Walden and also Bjorn Werner, who's behind him on the depth chart, and their injuries. So at the linebacker position and then also at the safety position, can the Colts stay healthy to go up against these teams that are going to have passing attacks? And on their offense, running back Trent Richardson, how he's going to find comfort. Donald Brown has his moments. We know that that's going to happen, but Donald Brown is not an every down back, and Donald Brown is not a guy that you can trust for an entire game consistently throughout an entire season. So the Indianapolis Colts really need to work Trent Richardson in. He's got the talent, but you have to learn the offense. He was thrown right into it. He didn't have training camp with the team. He didn't have OTAs with the team. He didn't have preseason with the team. This is all new to him. So, yes, he's a talented guy, and, yes, the Colts have only had one loss this season. But how strong he could be can really mean the difference for a Colts team that hasn't had a good rushing attack in a very long time. Defensively, with the health of Laron Landry and the rest of the guys, 6th in the country out of 32 teams against the pass, and doing well on the ground so far in rushing yards. They are 4th, but Trent Richardson can make them that much better. T.Y. Hilton, if he could continue to impress instead of just having one good game, that could be a big help to a guy like Reggie Wayne. And Andrew Luck, what can you say about the guy? Over 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's making it look easy at times. Just looks very comfortable out there. Peyton Manning leaves, and you wonder, what's this team going to be like? They didn't miss a beat. It's like David Robinson and Tim Duncan with the Spurs. Sometimes teams just are blessed to go from one to the other and continue to win football games. The Colts looking good so far. Next up in the AFC South are the Jacksonville Jaguars. New logo, new head coach. A lot going on here, but the team out on the field still having similar struggles. Last season they were 2-14. Right now they've started off winless, 0-5. They've lost to good teams, though. Kansas City, Oakland, Seattle, Indianapolis. St. Louis, the only team that you kind of look at and say, you know, that's middle-of-the-road team, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit below average. But four good teams in their five losses. They are 29th at passing yards in the country, 31st in rushing yards, 32nd in rushing yards that they allow. But in their secondary, they are 10th in the country against the pass in yards that they are allowing per game. So that's something to look at on the positive end. They have a very young secondary filled with rookies and also with the veterans that you have, guys that weren't used to being on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's potentially an entirely new secondary. That's really what it is, and I've talked about that before. And what you're going to do up front, Jeremy Mincy, a guy that could get to the quarterback, he's nursing an injury. And also when you look at your own quarterback, you can't trust a guy like Blaine Gabbert. Chad Henne could get some things done, but he's really never been trusted as the starter. And I think mentally that can affect a guy. Make him the starter, let it happen. It seems like Jacksonville doesn't know when to sit Blaine Gabbert, so then he ends up sitting because of an injury, and you're forced to play somebody else. It shouldn't come down to that. Tight end Mercedes Lewis needs to get involved more. He needs to get healthy. Slash player they've never had before, Denard Robinson, a non-factor, doing nothing. He can pass, he can catch, he can run the ball, but he's not doing any of that. Right now, it's just on paper. They have a lot of injuries on this team, not a lot of backup at the wide receiver core. Justin Blackmon, Cecil Shorts the third, have to step it up. And this offensive line that got rid of Eugene Monroe, that doesn't make any sense to me. They have to get it going. What's going on with this team? Injuries are affecting them. They have to run it well. They have to show that they can pass, and they have to stay competitive. Finishing up the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans, still not the same Chris Johnson that he was, that 2,000-yard running back. He got that big paycheck and lagged off a little bit. And everybody says, you know what, Dan, he got over 1,000 yards on the ground last season. Yes, but look at how he got it. Look at how he started, 11 carries for 7 yards. Guy was doing nothing. Multiple games, Jake Locker, his quarterback, was outrushing him. In their last game against Kansas City, he was outgained by Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran quarterback, outgained on the ground by him, 3.1 yards per carry, still has not scored. Chris Johnson is not the touchdown machine anymore. He's not a guy you could trust in yards per carry. He does not look the same. I think the talent is still there, but I don't think he pushes himself as much as he needs to be pushed. Fitzpatrick is pushing himself, moving the chains against Kansas City in the first start of the season, first start with the Tennessee Titans. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions after a drought as a starting quarterback after he parted ways with Buffalo. Touchdown through the air and a touchdown on the ground. Ryan Fitzpatrick could be a healthy change to this Tennessee team. Not saying Jake Locker is bad, but sometimes a guy comes in, he sparks you, and you can find a way to go. They didn't beat Kansas City, but they made it interesting with a backup quarterback that I really didn't expect too much from. Still has to find his comfort level between him and his receivers. And then you look at the left side of the defensive line, injuries to watch, defensive end Derek Morgan and defensive tackle Sammy Hill. This defense cannot afford to not have their starters up front. Chris Johnson has to step it up. I don't know if he will. He found a way to 1,000 yards last season. I don't know how he did it, putting together abysmal game after game after game last season. His campaign looks ugly so far now. And this Tennessee receiving core with Kenny Britt, Nate Washington, really no guy that I say stands out. I wouldn't say this last year either. That's going to be a positive effect for your team. So Fitz has to get creative, and he has been so far. We'll see what they could do. And that brings us to our break here. AFC East, West, North, and South, all given to you. 2-minute warning. This is the wake-up call special, the 2-minute warning. Every single team, 32 teams, 2 minutes spent on each. That's it. We'll take a step aside right now. You'll hear from Carvel DeWitt and Carrion Daily Physical Therapy. I'd also like to thank Dreisig Apparel with Dreisig Athletic and the Dreisig Lady line that you could find on Dreisig, Dreisig, athletic.com, and Dreisig, Dreisig, lady.com. I also want to thank fanhands.com for your number one fan accessory. All the teams we're talking about, you have to cheer them on. Why not cheer them on with a pair of fan hands that are very inexpensive? 11 different colors. Find your favorite team's colors. Get those fan hands on. Start clapping. You're going to clap at a game anyways. Why not make it interesting? Why not make it more fun? And why not be louder than the other fan group that is there? Why not be louder than the other fan base? Because what's the point of being at the game if you can't cheer your team on as loud as you possibly can? And I'm telling you right now, as loud as you've cheered, you have not cheered louder than you can with a pair of fan hands at fanhands.com. You'll hear it once again, like I said, from Carvell DeWitt and Carrion Daily Physical Therapy. Then we're right back at it with 2 minutes for each NFC team coming up. All 16 teams told to you what you need to know within 2 minutes' time when we come back on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora's special, The 2 Minute Warning.
Carvell DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvell DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carrion Daily Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at carryanddailypt.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Welcome back to a Wake Up Call with Dan Satora exclusive, The 2 Minute Warning. 2 minutes on every single team, 32 teams in the NFL every single week. What you need to know on each team within 2 minutes' time. We did the AFC, and now we're going to the NFC, starting with the East, moving on to the West, the North, and the South to round out Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, the 2 Minute Warning. On deck first, the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys, who have definitely shown up as of late, getting the job done. The Dallas Cowboys, a team out there scoring 48 points against the Denver Broncos, a defense with the expectation of playing very well, very strong football, and Tony Romo picking them apart. This is something that he has been able to do throughout his career. He's kept his interceptions down this season, which is huge for the Dallas Cowboys. He has 13 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, 1 interception in the first game of the season against the Giants, and 1 interception against the Denver Broncos. But the man has stayed strong throughout all of this. I give him a lot of credit. Over 200 yards in every game, over 500 yards against the Denver Broncos, and his completion percentage is right around 70% on the season. So the numbers don't lie. Tony Romo is a good quarterback. His numbers are there, and they're there very strong right now in this season. But the big thing about the Dallas Cowboys is, can Tony Romo lead them to winning games? They are 2-3 through 5 games, which has them at the top of the NFC East, not because that's a good record or just because of the fact that the teams are not strong in the NFC East currently right now. So the Dallas Cowboys have to get better. They have to do more. Dez Bryant has really shown up and been a star for them out in the receiving core. Miles Austin has to step up and be somebody. He hasn't been in a very long time. And you have to continue to running the ball with DeMarco Murray. You have to be dedicated to doing something like that to continue to open up Tony Romo. But this defense with DeMarcus Ware, there are positives there. There are positives that the Dallas Cowboys have shown so far through these games, despite only winning 2 of them. So they have to continue on this road. Tony Romo, the better he plays, the better the team does. I've seen it before on the sideline when he has that face. You know the difference between this is Tony Romo that's going to lead them to a victory and this is Tony Romo who knows that they've lost. On to the longtime rivals of the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants. Not a rival of anybody but now except for themselves and maybe a rival of their fans. Winless, 0-6, lost to the Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, Chicago Bears, losing all those games. Bears, kind of an average team. Philadelphia below, Kansas City above, Carolina below, Denver definitely above, and Dallas above right now. So losing to some good teams out there, not being effective, and you look at the Giants under Eli Manning, and Tom Coughlin being a second half type of team. But even if they were a strong second half team, the best they can be is 10-6 at this point. I don't see that happening with them playing the likes of Minnesota, have to play at Philadelphia, Oakland, Green Bay, Dallas again, Seattle later on in the season. So I don't see things going well. They might be able to pull one from the Washington Redskins, but Eli Manning has just not been the quarterback that you need. It's funny that, once again, stats lie, 10th in the country in passing yards per game, but that doesn't mean much of anything when your quarterback is throwing 15 interceptions through six games. He is on pace to have at least 32 interceptions by the end of the season. The record is 42 held by George Blanda. Line not helping Eli Manning at all. Defense not preventing. Wide receiver Hakeem Nicks, no touchdowns. Victor Cruz can score, but he scored, then was off. Then scored, then was off another 2 weeks. He scores and then takes 2 weeks off from the end zone. Not something that you need on your team. But half of the time, he's getting 100 yards receiving. Running backs doing nothing. As far as David Wilson and Darrell Scott, they're non-factors. I wouldn't even have them on my team on the practice squad at this point. Brandon Jacobs, two rushing touchdowns in his return, can be some positives on a team that really doesn't have many, as the New York Giants, I believe, will continue to lose and not get this thing righted for a little while at least. Next up, the Philadelphia Eagles of the NFC East, a team that is first in the country in rushing yards per game, and it makes sense because, to me, LeSean McCoy is the biggest positive that this team has right now by far. Over 500 yards on the season through five games, just about 100 attempts. He's got a little bit over 5 yards a carry. He has three scores so far. Michael Vick getting things done on the ground, too. Over 300 yards through five games, 9.3 yards per carry. He has a couple scores. But the issue is the fact that Michael Vick cannot stay healthy. He gets hit a lot. That line doesn't protect him very well. Michael Vick, not the quarterback that he used to be, and is getting injured season to season. He's facing injury right now. Nick Foles, his backup, also with a nagging injury. So you look at the fact that you could potentially see Matt Barkley, the rookie quarterback in Chip Kelly's offense, who's the rookie head coach in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles, coming from the Oregon Ducks college program. Matt Barkley was so successful in high-speed offenses, but even though Chip Kelly wants to move the ball quickly, he doesn't have those weapons that Matt Barkley had at USC and Robert Woods and Marquise Lee. DeSean Jackson and Riley Cooper, not going to get it done for Philadelphia. They have not held any teams this season under 20 points. In their two wins, they allowed 27 points and 21 points. In their losses, they've allowed 33 to San Diego, a team that's under par, 26 to Kansas City, and 52 to the Denver Broncos, who just went off and won the game by 32 over the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a team that is struggling. They look better because they have a team like the Giants in their division, but you've beaten Washington and you've beaten the Giants. Not a lot to say about that. Not doing well against anybody in the AFC West, and nobody in the NFC East really is doing that, so it'll be interesting to see if they're on the schedule moving forward. But the Philadelphia Eagles definitely have a lot of work to do, and right now it has to come through LeSean McCoy. Finishing out the NFC East, the Washington Redskins, a team that has to do more. Just as we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins in the same respect, and they've lost to the Eagles, has to do more. Quarterback Robert Griffin III, not enough. Six touchdowns to four interceptions. Isn't going to get it done. 320 passing yards in three of four games is a positive for the Washington Redskins, but beyond that, this team really doesn't have a ton of positives that are helping them out defensively, not being sound out there. You look at their passing yards, eighth in the country, but still, you're not getting into the end zone enough. They've lost to Philadelphia, Green Bay, Detroit. They defeated Oakland, which is a big win for them, in their most recent game. So that is a win because of the fact that Oakland does have an offense that's running well and a defense that's pretty good. So that's something that does make a statement about the Washington Redskins. But when you look at the losses that they've had, allowing over 27 points in all three of them, the defense has to get out there. They have to do more. And this offense has to be able to score more. Robert Griffin III, there's a lot of hype, a lot of people behind him, but he has to be able to guide this team and make good decisions when it counts, especially toward the end of the game. Wide receiver Pierre Garçon, first in receiving yards for the team and most first downs receiving. He's the go-to guy for Robert Griffin, has to target him and get other guys involved to help out Garçon. So the receiving corps is on alert that they have to step it up. keep an eye on kicker Kai Forbath's groin injury. That's a nagging injury that has affected people before. Running back Alfred Morris, 70 or more rushing yards in 3 of 4 games, 2 touchdowns. He is well in first place in rushing attempts with over 50 and 5.3 yards per carry for the Washington Redskins. Defense, as we talked about, allowed 27 or more points, 3 of 4 contests, all losses. Victory came when they held Oakland to 14. So they have to keep teams under 20, and that defense has to get going to help out Robert Griffin and the rest of the team. On to the NFC West with the Arizona Cardinals. Wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, that hamstring injury, something that needs to be watched. You cannot look at something like that and take that lightly with hamstring. I know that with players like Fred Taylor, you hurt your hamstring once and it continues to follow you throughout. Larry Fitzgerald is a strong guy. He's a leader. He's also a guy who comes across as a professional off the field, but you have to be able to trust in somebody like that, so he has to be healthy. Larry Fitzgerald, when he's on the field, great, but he has to be on that field and be healthy. Carson Palmer, the best thing that happened to Larry Fitzgerald in a long time, actually able to get him the ball, but in their wins, they defeated Tampa Bay and Carolina, not really good teams right now. Detroit, that was a good win for them. Lost to St. Louis, lost to New Orleans, and New Orleans only scored 7 points on the road at New Orleans. I expected more from them there. But on the ground, only allowing 79 yards, third in the country on that. That's really their big note on their defense, is they are stopping the run, so that's something to be said about them. But that offensive line, you need to protect a guy like Carson Palmer and have to be able to help him out, because he has to be able to find those guys in the open field. Rashard Mendenhall is not somebody I trust on the ground. Has a little over 200 yards through 5 games, only 3.2 yards a carry and 2 touchdowns. So this offense right now, and it's been for a while, Arizona has to run it through the air. So a healthy Larry Fitzgerald is going to help you out, and then also having a guy like Andre Roberts out there and a few other players that could get it going and take some pressure off. This is another team where the other wide receivers have to step up and be better. Even though they have Larry Fitzgerald, they can't just expect him to do all the work, and they have to get better against the pass, allowing over 260 yards a game. And obviously, you see, going against Drew Brees, it's going to be tough, but that secondary has to get better and get on with that rushing attack that's been strong. Next up in the NFC West, the San Francisco 49ers. Every single offensive lineman has been affected by injury this season. Not good news for people that have Colin Kaepernick on your fantasy football team. One of them being me. But San Francisco 49ers, that offensive line, it's so vital, so important. They're not talked about as much as they need to be. The accolades when a good play happens go to the quarterback, go to the wide receiver, go to the tight end at times, go to the running back. But every single one of those plays is affected by a strong offensive line or a weak offensive line. This is not about talent. This is about the fact that there's weakness because there's injuries with guys on the line all the way from left tackle to right tackle. That's not something you want to have with any of your offensive linemen having injuries. You see what's going on with the New York Giants. So this is something that you have to watch and how San Francisco is going to be successful with this. And on their defensive line, defensive ends Ray McDonald, who has a biceps injury, Justin Smith with a shoulder injury, something to watch on how their pass rush is going to be on San Francisco. Linebacker Patrick Willis, cornerback Carlos Rogers, also affected by injury. So all three lines of a San Francisco defense that has shown strength over the last couple of years have been affected. That's something to watch. Also, Colin Kaepernick's foot and tight end Vernon Davis's hamstring, how healthy they're going to be, because they can link up. And Vernon Davis, this is something that was beyond me. Vernon Davis in the middle of that offense, a great way to move the chains and needing to be used more. Kaepernick has been utilizing him. Have to keep him going because wide receiver Kyle Williams is not a factor in scoring. And running back Frank Gore has progressed with the season, getting into the end zone, raising his yards per carry. So you can trust in him. They win when they score in the 30s. They lose when they're under 10. That might make sense to you hearing that, but that's really what happens. The team's usually a strong offense that's pushing forward, or they can't get anything going. Too much Jekyll and Hyde right now for San Francisco. They have to step it up if they want to be a contender. The Seattle Seahawks, the next team we're looking at here in the NFC West. Two words, the defense. I said it before, said it last season. I said this could be the best pass defense in the country. Well, this, quite frankly, folks, could be the best defense in the country, period. And yes, we're looking at that secondary first and foremost. Cornerback Richard Sherman, strong safety Cam Chancellor, free safety Earl Thomas, and cornerback Brandon Browner. These guys have put together a phenomenal, phenomenal secondary who has beaten the likes in the past of your Aaron Rodgers and your Tom Brady's. They continue to go. They continue to be strong. Whether they're playing a team that's average, below average, or above average, they're always playing above average. Big words on the Seattle Seahawks team that has been known for defense in the past but is definitely known for it now. They don't have the mind of Gus Bradley on the team, and they're still moving forward, so that shows you that these players have personal responsibility and are not making excuses no matter what changes are going on in the organization. Middle linebacker Bobby Wagner, the Mike of the team, the quarterback of the defense, ankle injury, you want to watch out for that. Quarterback Russell Wilson, not the greatest numbers. His completion percentage is under 60%. He's under 50% in two games, 8 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, an interception in 4 straight games after not throwing a pick in the season opener against Carolina. And then you look at the fact, 15 for 31 against Indianapolis through the air, but he used his feet, 102 rushing yards when he wasn't throwing well on 13 attempts, almost 8 yards a carry, almost 6 yards a carry on the season. So Russell Wilson finding a way to get it done, showing that if he's hurting somewhere, he's not making excuses. Wide receiver Sidney Rice, knee, you want to look at. Tight end Zach Miller's hamstring. Marshawn Lynch, the running back, his hip. And right tackle Brino Giacomini with his injury is something to look at as well, with Marshawn Lynch being a little bit banged up in that backfield as they continue to move forward. But like I said, Russell Wilson finds a way to get it done, and their defense can shut you down, so that's helping out right now, even if the running attack struggles. Finishing out the NFC West with the St. Louis Rams, not much from the backfield with running back Darrell Richardson, 2.9 yards per carry, no touchdowns, and running back Isaiah Pede, rarely used, doing okay, mediocre, not the Steven Jackson team, definitely not the Marshall Faulk team, hasn't been for a while with the St. Louis Rams. Wide receiver Tavon Austin, 2 touchdowns against Atlanta, none in the other 4 games that the Rams have played in, under 50 receiving yards in every game. I expected more out of him. Thought maybe he'd be utilized in the backfield a little bit, some reverses, trick plays. I thought Tavon Austin would be a bigger part of the offense, but they're asking him to be a receiver right now. Not too much going on for Tavon. Have to figure out how to utilize him, find his strengths, look at the tape from West Virginia, and get it going with Tavon Austin. There's a lot of talent there that's not being utilized. Quarterback Sam Bradford for the Rams, under 60%, but 10 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. Austin Pettis, wide receiver that I think was one of the sleepers for fantasy football, sleeper for scoring 4 touchdowns right now of those 10 that Sam Bradford has. Wide receiver Chris Givens, trusted to be the deep guy more often than not. And tight end Jared Cook, another guy, fantasy football, have him on my team. Jared Cook is a guy that you look at because he's the top in receiving yards. This is one of those teams, like the Dallas Cowboys used to be with Jason Witten, where the offense, as far as the passing, truly goes through the tight end first and foremost, that you're giving the ball out to him and expecting him to get out there, getting targeted and leading in yards right now with Jared Cook. Against the pass, cornerback Cortland Finnegan, we talk about the pass for the Rams. Against it, Cortland Finnegan's injury, something to watch with Brandon McGee, a rookie with only 1 tackle so far in this being his rookie season. As the St. Louis Rams are trying to find their way to winning, they do have the talent, but have to utilize it better. Don't trust in that running game. They need to just scrap that running game and go and look for somebody, because it's not working right now. On to the NFC North, the Chicago Bears leading the division right now. This is something that I don't see happening throughout the entire year, but the Green Bay Packers have been struggling. The Detroit Lions obviously are a different team without Calvin Johnson, so those are parts that play a factor, definitely. And the Minnesota Vikings injury to Christian Ponder, what's he going to be like? Is he going to be the starter moving forward? What about Matt Cassel? Why was Josh Freeman brought in? A lot of questions when it comes to the Chicago Bears, but they beat a Cincinnati Bengals team that I think is middle of the road. They defeated Minnesota that I think is middle of the road. Their win against Pittsburgh, that's a low team. They defeated Detroit. They lost to Detroit and lost to New Orleans, games that you can't lose when you want to be a contender. And they defeated the New York Giants, and not in a shocking fashion, not in a really strong fashion, I should say, 27-21, with everything that Eli Manning did, 3 interceptions in the game, that the Bears didn't blow them out, because this is a team where, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Yes, there's talent with Alshon Jeffrey. Yes, there's talent with Devin Hester, but not what he used to be. This team in the Chicago Bears, and Matt Forte can run the ball too, but they are an average team that beats below average teams. or just average teams. They can go toe-to-toe with teams that are average. Cincinnati, 24-21. Minnesota, 31-30. They can just barely win the average games, but they're not winning the big games, and they're not winning handily against average teams because they are the middle of the road. They beat the New York Giants because the Bears can do that. The Giants are not a good team right now, so you don't have to go full throttle. You don't have to have a great quarterback. So when I look at their wins, yes, they're 4-2. Yes, they're leading the NFC North right now. But this is a team that is beating average teams because I think they do just enough to win those games. But when it comes to your games against, and I'm interested to see this when they're at Green Bay, when they're going up against Baltimore, when they go back and they're at Minnesota, when they play Dallas, when they play at Cleveland, what it's going to be like. Next up are the Detroit Lions of the NFC North, taking a look at a team that, like I said before, is truly different without wide receiver Calvin Johnson, only scoring 9 points in their game without Calvin Johnson, going up against Green Bay. Usually these games are more closely contested. They allow 22. They only score 9. You have to watch the injury to Calvin Johnson, what that's going to be as the season progresses, and also cornerback Chris Houston, what his injury is going to be as the season continues on. Very, very important that they can stop the passing attack and at the same time that they have a passing attack. Matt Stafford has helped this team to be 6th in the country in passing, but when you don't have a healthy Calvin Johnson, that's definitely going to change. Guys really have to step up. You have Ryan Broyles, but Nate Burleson is out with an injury, and that is something that's affecting your team. So guys have to be more. They have to step up. This depth chart really has to show that there is some depth here, and they have to figure out how to utilize Reggie Bush and Joakim Bell together. Joakim in the end zone more than Reggie Bush, 3 times to 1. But Reggie Bush getting more of the carries. They have to have a healthy balance between these two gentlemen to really get it going. You have Nick Fairley on your defense, and you also have Ndamukong Suh. So those are two good things to have. It's definitely a better Detroit Lions defense than we saw before when you're watching that Thanksgiving game with the family and just shaking your head and why that game's even on television. They're not that team anymore, but Calvin Johnson has to be healthy for this team to move forward. The benefits that they have moving forward for Detroit is that you're playing a Pittsburgh team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants. All those games are winnable games. But then you have the games at Minnesota. You have Dallas. You're going to face Green Bay again. You have Baltimore. Those are games that you have to be healthy, you have to be ready, and they have to play above themselves. They've had the talent on paper. Now it's time to show what that truly is going to mean for them, as they've not always come through in being enough when they need to be. Next up in the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers, a team that you expect every season to be a contender, but they have struggled, and those struggles may continue with linebacker Clay Matthews and Brad Jones both injured. Linebacker Jamari Lattimore, a backup linebacker for the Packers with 15 tackles in his career, definitely not your Clay Matthews as you continue forward. At running back, Eddie Lacy injured first, then James Starks. They're not doing enough on the ground. And they found ways to take their fourth or fifth down running back and be successful in this offense. But Eddie Lacy as a rookie, really not providing enough. And James Starks, he has his moments, but once again, injured. Aaron Rodgers has Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb. Healthy tight end JaMychal Finley is always going to help him. So that's what this team really has to lean on. And unfortunately right now, Green Bay, even with a healthy Clay Matthews, they have to outscore people. They really have to get out there and they have to put offensive points on the boards. And I know you say outscore, Dan, obviously. But what I mean is their defense isn't doing enough healthy to shut teams down. So Aaron Rodgers has to push the term. Now he has to do it even more with Clay Matthews having an injury, Brad Jones as well, and figuring out what to do with that rushing attack. They lost to San Fran and Cincinnati after allowing both teams at least 30 points. San Francisco, a team that has struggled to score, and Cincinnati, who has done the same at times. So Green Bay showing right there that the defense is not doing enough. The offense definitely has to do more. Aaron Rodgers, you got to love it if you have any fantasy player that's a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Kind of like the same thing with the New Orleans Saints, but Aaron Rodgers really has to take this on his shoulders. He's shown that he's done well with it before, but this is a subpar Green Bay Packers team that really has to turn it on and show that they can win in their division and win against those NFC East teams. They have to make the rest of their season count. They have to make it matter, and they have to fight through injury to be effective moving forward. Completing the conversation on the NFC North are the Minnesota Vikings. Running back Adrian Peterson, very sad news about the passing away of his son. And I want to take a moment of silence for that. Truly a travesty and something just very, very sad. But if history has shown anything, Brett Favre with his father passing away, Torrey Smith with his brother passing away, Adrian Peterson to go out there will probably blow it up. He's always done it. That's what he's used to. That's the type of running back he is. You tell him an ACL injury is going to take this long for rehab after surgery. He comes back, plays a full season, and almost breaks Dickerson's record. Gets so, so close. Adrian Peterson's a guy that responds very well to adversity. He knows that his team needs him because they're trying to figure out what to do with Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, Josh Freeman. How's this going to work out? I like Ponder, but I will admit that he has been subpar. Matt Castle, maybe because the pressure's off and you're a backup now, he can show some success. Josh Freeman, with everything going on, still sorting through the pile of papers of, is this really the, you know, when you look at Josh Freeman in the Bucs, was it more him? Was it more them? Was it somewhere in between to find out really if he is a head case that you don't want to have in your locker room? Minnesota receivers have to step it up. Comfort level with whatever quarterback they're with, which is going to be a struggling point at times. Kicker Blair Walsh, hamstring injury. Don't underestimate that injury to Blair Walsh. Very important. Hamstring is not something that you want to have with your kicker, groin injury, anything like that. So Blair, who can boot it from pretty far away, you have to have him healthy. But like I said, Adrian Peterson, he's going to get it done. But Minnesota as a whole has to have a stout defense. They have to show with guys like Jared Allen that they can get the job done, and they have to do more in the passing game. Finishing up Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora's special, the two-minute warning is the NFC South, and we start right now in the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons, a team that definitely is not what you're used to, with Julio Jones at wide receiver, questionable this week, questionable the next week, keep being questionable. When I kept seeing that on the depth chart that Julio Jones is questionable, I thought, you know what, it's a foot injury, whatever injury it is, if he's not at 100%, don't play him, don't risk it, because you don't want to lose a guy like Julio Jones. And I said, if they keep playing him, they'll probably lose him for the season. And now, most likely, they have done so in losing Julio Jones. You also have an injury to Roddy White, who's another guy that you have to learn from your past mistakes. You don't want history to repeat itself. Your top two wide receivers, you can't afford to not have Matt Ryan being banged up. You also can't afford to have, as Matt Ryan has been a guy that's shown that he can come back in games, but the team hasn't done enough. Running back Steven Jackson also with an injury. So when you're on a team with the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them, I'm just saying, quarterback, two top wide receivers, your starting running back, when you have injuries throughout all of that, it's going to be very difficult to move the chains. Tony Gonzalez knows how to do it, but you have to have a healthy Matt Ryan, and you have to have help in the receiving core. This Atlanta Falcons team not doing enough on defense to shut teams down. And on offense, it's left to be seen. But when you have injuries like this, I'm not looking at an Atlanta Falcons team that's a contender. When they're healthy, when they're strong, listen, they can fight with the best of them. But right now, they're fighting with injury, and that's something that cannot go understated, as Jason Snelling, backup running back, as well has a nagging injury. This Atlanta team really has to push it. They've only won one game in five tries, and they've had Matt Ryan for that, and they've had Julio Jones for that for most of it, and Roddy White as well. So where they're going from here doesn't look the greatest when they've only had one win, when they have the players that they need to be successful. Next up in the NFC South are the Carolina Panthers, a team that has been the Cam Newton show, and that's pretty much all they are right now on offense. They're 30th in the league in passing yards a game, but they're 7th in rushing, and not because of a guy like D'Angelo Williams, who has yet to score, but more on the side of a guy like Cam Newton. Yes, D'Angelo has over 330 yards, almost 5 yards a carry, but that rushing attack is not where it needs to be. Cam Newton, 6.2 yards a carry, one touchdown, but still, like I said, it's the Cam Newton show. They've lost to Seattle, who's a good team. They lost at Buffalo when E.J. Manuel was there. They lost at Arizona, who's kind of middle-of-the-road team. They defeated the New York Giants. The only win that they have is against a terrible team. They won 38-0 in shutting out Eli Manning and the Giants, who have shut themselves out of winning any game because they just can't get it done, and interceptions have been a huge, huge problem. So this team right now in Carolina, I need to see more. They have not won a game to me that's truly meaningful right now. Wide receiver Steve Smith, a relative non-factor, one touchdown in four games. Two rushing touchdowns, Newton and fullback Mike Tolbert. None, like I said, for D'Angelo Williams. Williams, though, leading the team by far, he needs to be able to do more. I see 330 yards. I see that they're in the top 10 in rushing in the country, but I don't see that week to week from D'Angelo Williams. He's not giving enough. This Carolina Panthers team is going nowhere if they can only beat teams like the New York Giants and probably a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars as well, but not winning in those big games. They have the Jets coming up. They have to go at New Orleans. They have to play New Orleans at home, at Atlanta at the end of the season, seeing how healthy they are. San Francisco, New England, Atlanta once again, at Minnesota. These are big games that they have to show that they're competitors and they're not just a team hoping that you play just a little bit worse than they do. Next up in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints, a team that is undefeated, and there's a reason why. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The New Orleans Saints have a good offense when you're running it through Drew Brees. They can get it done. They could find ways. Even with an average, sometimes subpar rushing attack, Drew Brees will find a way to score points with his receivers and his tight ends. But they, in order to be a contender, need to have a strong defense. The year that they won the Super Bowl, their defense was there. They were at least average. They were getting it done. This season, at 5-0, no team has gone up against them and scored 20 points. Everybody held under 20, including Atlanta at the beginning of the season with a healthy team. Against Tampa Bay, that's a subpar team. Arizona, that's middle of the road. Miami, that's middle of the road at least. And Chicago, that's fighting to be that middle of the road type of team that really is that average team as it stands right now. And they did that at Chicago. So this New Orleans team doing enough. They scored over 20 points in every game except for one. Drew Brees, you can't say enough about the man and what he does. And I don't think he's talked about enough. I think he is spoken about, but Peyton Manning, obviously a little bit better, but you have to have Drew Brees in conversations. 12 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, just under 70% completion percentage. He's got tight end Jimmy Graham, all-purpose Darren Sproles, who's huge for this team, not utilized well in San Diego. Wide receiver Marquise Colston, running back Pierre Thomas helping as well. You have to look at the fact that nose tackle Broderick Buncley, though, there could be an injury there at the middle of the defensive line. John Jenkins is in his rookie season, and secondary injuries to strong safety Roman Harper, free safety Malcolm Jenkins, and cornerback Keenan Lewis. Fellow cornerback Chris Carr is having a back problem as well, but he is a guy that most likely will be out there playing. But like I said, your whole team's under 20, so this defense has to stay healthy. That's why those injuries are mentioned. They need that to continue moving forward, but Drew Brees obviously is who he is. And finally, the 32nd team to be talked about here in the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora special two-minute warning, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team, what can you say about them? They're led by a coach that I don't think respects the game in Greg Schiano, somebody that I don't see truly leading your team to do the right thing, the moral thing, the responsible thing. They get rid of Josh Freeman, which might have been a responsible thing there. Quarterback Mike Glennon only had one game at the helm of the offense, so he's looking to get comfortable. They have MRSA, the infection going through their team, the staph infection. My prayers and hopes go out to all of them and their loved ones and everyone that's around the team and involved that this MRSA infection goes away, that they're able to get rid of it for good. Left guard Carl Nix being affected by it. Also Jonathan Banks in the secondary being affected by it. Darrell Revis has to be a shutdown guy. Running back Doug Martin, one 100-yard game through four contests and one touchdown. He has to be more as Mike Glennon looks to get comfortable. And wide receiver Mike Williams' hamstring is not going to be helping Mike Glennon. And then no scores from wide receiver Vincent Jackson. So everybody's subpar in Tampa, and they have a subpar coach in my mind. You're not going to get leadership from your coach. You have to find it elsewhere. And they have trouble in their kicking game on special teams. Connor Barth and Lawrence Tynes both out right now, so you have to watch to that. Special teams affected, your offense directly affected, because if you can't get close enough and you want to try from 40 or 50 out, there's really not a lot to trust in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You want to have a surefire kicker there, and they don't have that right now with the Bucs, who are good against the rush. ninth in the country, allowing less than 95 yards a game on the ground. But like I said, Doug Martin has to be more, and this team has to do more. They're not winning against teams like the Jets, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Cardinals, and they're not as good as those teams, but they're not as good as the teams below those teams, and that's saying a lot. They have to improve immediately. That rounds it out, folks. We did it. 32 teams, 2 minutes spent on each. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, new special, the 2-minute warning, dedicated to the NFL every single week. That way, no matter who you're a fan of, it's relevant to you to listen into the show and hear what I have to say about your favorite team, the teams that you're going up against in your division, teams in the conference, and teams around the league. As the season progresses, so as we will progress, right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the 2-minute warning. 2 minutes on all 32 teams for you to give you the show that's going to provide you all the information that you need going into every single week and give you that NFL fill. And the beauty of it, you don't have to worry about losing the signal because you can get the show anywhere, anytime on any smartphone by going to either the iPhone or the Google Play Store and searching Sports DT. That's SportsDT. You can also get it on your tablet, iPod, iPad, on your laptop, on your desktop at wakeupcalldt.com. Go right to the show's page and you will see it. Wake Up Call, the 2-minute warning. Don't miss out on it. Thank you for listening in today. God bless. Be well. And if you have anything else to say on the NFL, always get in touch with me, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, and also on Twitter at calldt, CALLDT. This is Dan Tortora for Dan Tortora Broadcast Media. I'll talk to you very soon. Be well, enjoy the gridiron, and we'll be right back at it next week.